Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Stephen B. Oats to Purge. This Land with Blood is a historical biography of John Brown, the militant abolitionist whose raid on Harper's Ferry in 1859 helped intensify the sectional crisis before the American Civil War. First published in 1970, the book belongs to the tradition of scholarly yet accessible Civil War era biography. Its purpose is not simply to recount Brown as a violent conspirator or sanctified martyr, but to examine how his religious convictions, family experiences, failures, anti-slavery commitments, and strategic thinking converged in a life devoted to destroying slavery by force. Oates presents Brown as a deeply controversial figure whose actions cannot be understood through a single label such as fanatic, criminal, or hero. The biography follows Brown from his upbringing and business struggles through Bleeding Kansas, his plans for armed liberation, the Harper's Ferry raid, trial, execution, and posthumous influence on American memory, I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Brown's religious abolitionism as a moral framework for violence. A central concern of Oates' biography is the way John Brown understood slavery, not merely as a political evil but as a religious offense demanding judgment. Brown drew on a severe Protestant moral universe shaped by Old Testament language, providential thinking, and the belief that human bondage violated divine law. Oates does not treat this faith as decorative background. It becomes the framework through which Brown interpreted national compromise, personal sacrifice, and the legitimacy of violence. This matters because Brown did not see himself as a conventional reformer seeking gradual persuasion. He believed slavery was a continuing war against the enslaved, and that armed resistance could be morally justified as defense of the oppressed. Oates therefore shifts the question from whether Brown was simply irrational to how a coherent moral vision could lead to extreme action. The biography shows the danger and power of absolute conviction. Brown's anti-slavery commitment was rooted in a genuinely egalitarian impulse. Yet his certainty left little room for political caution, institutional process, or concern for the uncontrollable consequences of bloodshed. Secondly, a reappraisal that moves beyond the simple fanatic label. One reason to purge this land with blood became influential is that it challenged older tendencies to dismiss Brown primarily as unbalanced or deranged. Oates does not excuse Brown's violence, but he reconstructs the full person behind the legend husband, father, failed businessman, restless organizer, religious believer, anti-slavery activist, and self-appointed liberator. This fuller treatment changes the interpretive stakes. If Brown is reduced to madness, his actions can be isolated from the moral crisis of slavery and from the failures of American politics in the 1850s. Oates instead shows how Brown developed within a society where legal institutions protected slavery, compromise repeatedly favored slaveholding power, and peaceful anti-slavery efforts often appeared ineffective. The biography is especially attentive to contradiction. Brown could be tender toward the enslaved and harsh toward opponents, visionary in his hatred of slavery and impractical in logistics, personally austere yet capable of coercive leadership. This balanced portrait explains why Brown remained both repellent and compelling to later generations. Oates makes him historically intelligible without making him morally simple. Thirdly, Bleeding Kansas as the testing ground for Brown's militant method. Oates gives major importance to Brown's involvement in Kansas because it was there that his anti-slavery convictions became openly militant. The struggle over whether Kansas would enter the Union as a free or slave state turned national conflict into local violence. For Brown, Kansas confirmed that slavery would not be defeated by argument alone. The Pottawatomie killings, in which pro-slavery men were murdered by Brown and his followers, stand as one of the most disturbing episodes in his career. Oates treats the event neither as a heroic necessity nor as an inexplicable eruption. Instead, he places it in the atmosphere of raids, threats, political fraud, and retaliatory violence that marked the territory. This context is essential, but it does not erase the moral seriousness of Brown's decision to sanction killing. Kansas becomes the proving ground for a pattern that would reappear at Harper's Ferry. Brown interpreted violence as a means of forcing history forward when lawful mechanisms seemed corrupted. The episode reveals both his courage and his willingness to cross boundaries that many anti-slavery allies would not cross. Fourthly, Harper's Ferry and the strategic logic behind an apparently impossible raid. The Harper's Ferry raid is often remembered as a doomed seizure of a federal armory. But Oates emphasizes that Brown had a broader strategic conception. He hoped to obtain weapons, attract enslaved people and free black allies, and initiate a guerrilla-style campaign that would make slavery increasingly insecure across the Appalachian region. The plan rested on the idea that slavery depended not only on law and ideology, but also on the enforceability of property claims in human beings. If enslaved people could be armed, protected, and encouraged to flee in numbers, slave property would become unstable and economically vulnerable. Oates shows why this idea had a certain internal logic, while also exposing its practical weaknesses. Brown misjudged timing, local response, communication, and the difficulty of turning a small raid into a sustained liberation movement. Harper's Ferry, therefore, appears as both a strategic experiment and a catastrophic miscalculation. Its failure was immediate in military terms, but its political effect was immense because it made Southern fears of slave insurrection and Northern admiration for Brown impossible to ignore. Lastly, trial, execution, and the transformation of Brown into a national symbol. Oates devotes careful attention to the aftermath of Harper's Ferry because Brown's defeat did not end his historical importance. Captured, tried, and executed in Virginia, Brown became far more influential as a condemned abolitionist than he had been as a military leader. His courtroom statements and conduct before death allowed supporters to frame him as a martyr who had sacrificed himself for enslaved people. At the same time, many white Southerners saw him as proof that anti-slavery sentiment threatened their lives, property, and social order. Oates shows how this symbolic divide accelerated polarization. Brown's body could be executed, but his meaning could not be contained. In the North, even people who rejected his methods were forced to confront the seriousness of his anti-slavery purpose. In the South, the raid deepened suspicion that Republican politics and abolitionist violence were connected. The biography, therefore, treats Brown's legacy as an active historical force. His death helped transform the debate over slavery from a contest over policy into a moral and existential crisis. In conclusion, to purge this land with blood is best suited for readers interested in American slavery, abolitionism, the coming of the Civil War, political violence, and the moral complexity of reform movements. It is accessible enough for general readers but serious enough to remain useful for students of 19th century American history. The book offers intellectual benefits rather than practical lessons in a narrow sense. It helps readers understand how moral certainty, religious belief, racial justice, strategic miscalculation, and national crisis can intersect in one historical life. Its value lies in clarifying why John Brown cannot be understood only as a murderer, martyr, terrorist, or prophet. Compared with older heroic or hostile accounts, Oates stands out for his effort to balance narrative force with historical restraint. Compared with more recent cultural interpretations of Brown, it remains notable as a compact, foundational modern biography that reconstructs the life and decisions behind the legend. Readers looking for an introduction to Brown will find a clear path through the main events, while readers already familiar with Harper's Ferry will find a useful model of how biography can illuminate a national crisis. The book endures because it treats Brown not as an isolated eccentric, but as a revealing figure in the unresolved moral conflict over slavery. If you would like to support Stephen B. Oates, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.